I will just provide an outline of the history of the pineal tones. The pineal tones were developed by Dr. Todd Overcides through a remembrance of his Akash. He began teaching others on how to use them for healing and expanding their consciousness. And over several years, he developed a repertoire of many tones. Many years ago, Dr. Todd started to tone in Lee Carroll's meetings. When that happened, Lee had no idea what to make of the funny, strange sounds that sounded like airplane noises coming out of Dr. Todd's mouth. But Cryon was jumping up and down because it was happening. You see, the funny-sounding airplane noises, they have a multi-dimensional overtone structure that creates light within the DNA field when it's sung with intent. Not only does it activate the DNA inside, it activates the Pleiadian part of the DNA, and it starts a process that is a communication with the Creator's purpose. For over a decade, Dr. Todd travelled the world teaching others how to sing these strange, funny, full weird but very profound sounds and noises known as the pineal tones. In November 2010, Cryon gave further instructions to Dr. Todd about what he should do with the tones. They were to be sung in pairs to create coherence. When sung together, the paired tones create a third energy, which becomes a quantum transmitter, which is entangled with the centre of the galaxy. So Dr. Todd's instructions from Cryon were to create a Lemurian choir, who was to sing a specific combination of tones in a certain order. He was instructed the choir had to sing in either Hawaii or Mount Shasta on December 21, 2012. So many of you were there for that choir and felt the profound energy of this amazing event. Cryon stated that Dr. Todd's memory of the Lemurian choir sung 26,000 years ago was shockingly accurate. So it was after the Lemurian choir that Cryon began to reveal information about the nodes and the knolls of the planet. Each node has a matched knoll that together they create a push-pull energy that enhances the grids of the planet. The Pleiadians set up a system of 12 major paired energy points that are found at 24 geographical locations. So these 12 energy points have also been referred to as time capsules. The reference to time capsules is actually a metaphor because there's nothing in them. They are capsules that open and they give real-time quantum energy to the grids, which allows high consciousness, invention, and human DNA evolution. Cryon said the Lemurian choir was putting a key in the lock to enable the 12 time capsules so they could be ready for release. The Lemurian choir occurred on the node of Maui, Hawaii, and the matching knoll was the Tibesti Mountains in Chad, Africa. So since the Lemurian choir, three significant events have taken place. The first was the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy, the eagle meets the condor. During the Cryon Kundalini tour of 2013, a channel given in Lake Titicaca preceded by sacred ceremony given by Kahuna Kale, and Cryon said Kahuna Kale needed to be there because the energy of the 900 singers from the Lemurian choir was imbued into Kale. Those present during this event and those who listened to the channel opened and released the time capsule held between Lake Titicaca in Bolivia and Mount Kailash in Tibet. The second event was in Cancun, Mexico, where Dr. Todd created the Compassion Choir. Isn't it interesting that Todd chose the location for this choir even before Cryon revealed the location of the knolls and nodes? What a coincidence that Dr. Todd chose one of the nodes, the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico, which has a matched knoll in Mount Kilimanjaro, Tanzania, Africa. So that was the second time capsule to be activated. The third event happened very recently, on Sunday night, within the last channel of the Cryon Summer Light Conference, Crayon talked about the push-pull energy that exists within the galaxy. There is a benevolent push-pull energy transmitted from the great central source to all planets of free choice, which have gone into ascension status. Every planet with ascension status has the ability to receive this energy. Crayon told us planet Earth has been like a pressure cooker without a receiver. We had to pass a certain marker in consciousness and time before we could be eligible to receive ascended information. Passing the marker provides an allowance for our Earth's receivers to pop up and start a process. And this is why the 12 pairs of nodes and knolls have been identified, because they are the receivers. So far, 3 out of the 12 pairs have been identified. And Crayon said that the planet needs a certain percentage of the pairs to be identified and activated in order for any of the receivers to come online and begin to function. We need 4 pairs to enable the receiving process to begin. The pineal choirs of the past, plus what happened in Lake Titicaca, have activated 3 of them. During the last channel of the Crayon Summerlight Conference, the matching knoll to Mount Shasta was revealed as Mount Ararat in Turkey. And this was activated by the audience. Many of you were there, and I'm sure you're still calibrating the enormity of this energetic event. During an earlier discussion with Lee Carroll about what actually happened at that channel given on Sunday, Crayon popped into our conversation to tell us that the activation done by the audience was simply turning the on switch of the receivers. And Crayon further said that in order to have them receive anything, they must be calibrated. My natural question to Crayon was, okay, so how do we calibrate them? Crayon's answer was, the calibration of the time capsules is done with the choir that you are about to sing, plus the 2 choirs that have already happened. So you have turned the key in the lock, opened the door, and now it is ready for calibration. The significance of all of this is that the 4th pair has been brought online. This enables the entire process to begin for the planet. And with the calibration of the 4th pair, all 4 will be receiving appropriate information from the great central source. More of the pairs will be revealed in the future and calibrated by choirs in the future and other specific events on our planet. So we have graduated. We are on our way to becoming an ascended planet. It may take generations to really see this process evolving, but we now have the ability to fast track to a higher consciousness on Earth, because that is our desire and that is our intent. Welcome to the Celebration Choir. It's time to celebrate.
It's the only time I channel when I stand up, is at the choirs. And so you will see me occasionally hold on to the microphone so that I don't fall over, which would be inappropriate at any time. Greetings, dear ones. I am Crayon of Magnetic Service. And so here you are again. And the irony and the beauty is basically you have no idea what you're doing. And this is the beauty. Blessed is the human being who does not fully understand the profundity of what is happening, but is guided day by day, seemingly in a vacuum, often in the dark, to follow directions that are sacred, that will then create a path for others to follow. You are the forerunners of the future. And without you following these guidelines and this,
the choir. Without coming into the full fold of what some of you feel is oddness and strangeness, without that, you would not have what we would call the full calibration of what is to come. Each year, the information may clear for you. Each year, we will then reveal some of the things that were unrevealable in the past. Let us look at a chronology. Let us clear some issues. Before you begin to even sing a note in this celebration ceremony. At the balance of the precession of the equinoxes, 900 of you gathered, and some here today were among them. And this was before any nodes and nulls were identified. This was before any of the information about time capsules was presented, and there you were, truly without full knowledge of why. But you felt the profundity of a message to be sent to who knows where by 900 of you that gathered to sing notes in the air through your voices that carried that which was a multidimensional force, a force, not an energy. An energy exists, a force travels. And the force that you presented singing these human consciousness tones with intent came together to create a third force that sent a message. A forced message, that is to say, there were no receivers, there were no transmitters. This planet was isolated. It was a pressure cooker. It hadn't even opened yet. And you opened it. This was the beginning. We told you you had turned a key and a lock. And now we explain a little more. The transmission that you gave at that moment was to say to the central source and all the ascended planets in the galaxy, we have arrived. We are at the junction of a shift in consciousness. We made it. We did not destroy ourselves and we're ready for more. Intuitively, seeming like at the last moment, Yah-E decided to reverse the polarity of the tones for a reception instead of a transmission. It's a good thing he did. For then you got the message. Message received. And you felt it, didn't you? You felt it. As simple as this seems, it sets the stage for everything to come. At that moment, without even knowing it, there were at least one to two sets of receivers we now call the time capsules that were starting to feel the activation to come. And there was what I will call a default activation and calibration of the first set. So, the Lemurian choir sent the message, activated a set of time capsules that it had no idea existed, and calibrated them with a default energy. And that reception was then able to go to Yah-E's consciousness for a higher set of tones that he would never have been able to give without that first set being achieved. Now, there is a vast difference between activating the time capsules and calibrating them, as was just explained. The activations can be done apart from a choir. It can be done in places you don't know about and people you've never heard of. Small groups on the planet in the right place at the right time, even planetary events can activate a set of time capsules. The activation is like turning on the radio. It's ready to then receive. But like the metaphor of a radio on the planet Earth, you must then turn the dial to find the frequency you will calibrate to the reception that is needed. The reception and the calibration is not known in advance. And that is why Yah-E is involved to the degree he is. He must remember, he must receive in advance in order then to create the tones that will calibrate for the moment, for the planet, what is needed. You've had three choirs. There are four now, four time capsules identified, and the four is the Gaia energy. And the four will enable the 12 to then be starting to receive information of calibration so they can also be receivers in the future. Four had to be calibrated in order for this planet to begin receiving anything. It's the percentage of the 12 needed, greater than 30, just like your DNA. And so this is the chronology. The time capsules that exist, the four, have all now been activated. One at Lake Titicaca, one with the choir, one in Cancun, and one is about to be. All of them have been activated and calibrated except the fourth in the shadow of the mountain. You are about ready to do that. Now listen, I just told you that you need four to be calibrated before the earth begins to receive anything. And that means that after this weekend, the planet begins to receive. It had to happen in year one. This is year one. Last year was the year of recalibration. Now we start calibration. These things are now obvious and should be to you, especially if you listen again to this explanation. Dear ones, what you're about to do is to calibrate the time capsules that exist in the mountain behind you and in Turkey. And both of those places, the node and the null, right now are celebrating. And I want you to feel it. And here are my instructions for the day. Do not be consumed with the minutiae. Are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? I will tell you that there is a Pleiadian in every chair. And they're not listening if you're doing it right. They are just so happy you're doing it at all. Do you feel the profundity of the moment? There's sacredness here. There's appropriateness here. There is joy in this place. Celebration is at hand. Let it proceed. And so it is. And now we continue. And the continuation is with education. It's time to reveal what Yah-E is truly remembering. The Pleiadians play a great role in what you're doing now. That statement alone puts you in a category that is different from those, perhaps, outside the building. Perhaps for the first time, appropriately in year one, there would be those seeing this that would never have seen it before through the media, which is now being recorded. here. And so there would be those who would watch this and wouldn't understand anything. In fact, they would not see what you see. They would not understand what you understand. In fact, they may even pass judgment that it's not for them and never will be. And so we will reveal just a little, perhaps, of the common sense that is here to a Pleiadian and what you're doing. You are connecting this planet to the seed biology, the creation story of the planet, of humanity. And therefore, there is an alliance for the first time to begin with communication from that which is the Seven Sisters constellation, from that which is the Pleiadians in the mountain, who are in a quantum state, a time capsule that has no time. A difficult concept indeed. One in a quantum state who has no time is not one who does not understand time, it is one who simply has none. What it means is that they can land anytime they want to, their consciousness in your clock. That's the ability. In a quantum state, it is not ruled by a linear time frame, but it is easily manipulated to a linear place if it wants to be. It can be anywhere at any time. The Pleiadians, you may think, have waited a long time for this. To them, not really. The celebration with Adama and the others in the mountain is beginning and has started days ago. But they really haven't waited that long in the consciousness of a quantum state. Let me tell you something about the physiology of a Pleiadian. The human being is born with differences in the throat chakra that are biological between the male and the female, and you will even see it. You call the male has an Adam's apple. That is, of course, named after the metaphoric Adam of Adam and Eve, Adam representing the male. That is different between the male and the female on the planet. That is a difference also in a Pleiadian male and female. There is a difference in the throat chakra. The physiology of the vocal cords is different. Men and women on the planet, yes, it is the same, except the woman's vocal cords are shorter, higher, men's longer, and therefore deeper in voice. The Pleiadians have a different kind of scenario. The female has a muscle in the vocal cord, much like on a guitar string, a human would put their finger on the string to make it higher or lower. The female can do this with a muscle. The female has the attribute of creating sounds that are higher than a human can hear. Now you're starting to have a little indication of why you're making some of the sounds you are. Now I have a revelation. Some of the sounds are the Pleiadian language. Now, let's just give you an example. In Pleiadian, hiyaoha is one phrase. Here's another. Hiyaoha. One means good morning, and the other one means you don't look so good. It's subtle, isn't it? Did you notice the... That's Pleiadian. The tones are not simply sacred sounds that you are putting together to create other energies. They are Pleiadian greetings, dear ones. You are singing to them in their language. What do you think? What do you think? Is it any wonder that they're excited? Not only have you awakened, but you have a Lemurian priest. A Lemurian priest who had a Pleiadian mother who was remembering the tones and the language of his planet that his mother taught him when he was small. That is what you're doing. This is the awakening that the mountain is sensing. It is no wonder they're excited. There's more. And it continues. So much beautiful information to impart to you. This is year one. And we keep saying that because there is already a model that has been set many times in this galaxy of what takes place within a planet that has been seeded by another, allowed with free choice to get to a place or not, where it would wake up to its own consciousness and decide to change. I would love to give you a biology lesson. And it's one that scientists may not agree with. And yet there are things they cannot deny that they see. And they search for answers that are not there. You don't have human DNA. Ever since DNA was identified and chromosomes could be looked at closely, there was the awareness of the fusion of chromosome 2. Fused with chromosome 3, some say, gave humanity a completely different set of chromosomes than the common ones of other mammals, especially those who look like you would be apes. You have 23 pair instead of the common 24. And if you stopped right there and looked at that in an esoteric fashion, and we invite you to, there is numerology everywhere. For chromosomes 2 and 3 would equal a 5, giving you 23 pairs, which equals a 5, and 5 means change. It's an invitation to change your DNA. Not chemically. For DNA, chemically, is complete. The invitation to change your DNA is quantumly. Consciousness is quantum. It is not three-dimensional. It is an attribute, an element, a confluence with the chemistry that gives you even power over physics. I invite you right now to look at your history. What is the history of the masters of the planet? What did they show you? What did they do? Did they do anything unusual? Did some of them, like, for instance, change physics, walk on water, create things that were not there a moment before? What does this tell you? Are you just going to call it a miracle, thank you, God, and walk away? Or are you going to say, this was an example of a human being with a DNA that was different, enhanced, perhaps even operating at its fullest Pleiadian level. There was even one early on who chose his own ascension time. Did not leave evidence of death, not even a body. These were the masters of the planet showing you change. Now I would like to invite you to know more about Pleiadian DNA. Human beings are biased. How would you like to know about high Pleiadian technology? You, human being, are looking for devices, aren't you? You've got to have a outside of consciousness, device-driven technology married with what you do corporeally in order to give you high technology. What if I told you the Pleiadians never did that? First of all, you should know this. The Pleiadian civilization is 10 times longer than yours. Now, that varies depending upon which Pleiadian planet you're talking about, and there were three, for they had 9 stars. And if I told you what it was, you wouldn't understand. Culturally, humanity is far different than other planets. Even cultures within humanity are different. You have what is called human nature. The Pleiadians did not go that route. They did not go down the technology route with devices and things. They went right to consciousness. An elevated consciousness will turn in on itself and marry with physics. It will not go out of itself and create a device. It will create its own technology within itself. There have been critics who would say that Lemurians, no matter how high their mountain was, could never have super cold technology. They could not have had a temple of rejuvenation because they didn't have the equipment. That is a human bias, you see. You're device-driven, aren't you? The Pleiadians didn't need it. What did the masters of the planet show you again? What was their device when they created something out of nothing? What was their device that they used to walk on water? What was the device used to ascend at the right moment? The device was consciousness. It was built in. It was elevated consciousness that understood and could manipulate physics. Pleiadians, I've said this before, if you see ships in the mountain, they're illusions created for you because that's what you want to see. They don't need it. Pleiadian consciousness controls physics. They entangle themselves with whatever it is they need to. They can be here or anywhere and be several places at the same time. Physicists, you know what I'm talking about. It is so different from you. Now, let me tell you the rest of the story. A Pleiadian mother sings a lullaby to her child. Not just a song, not something simply passed down and beautiful. The lullaby she sings to her song, the song that she sings to her child, is a healing song. Right from birth, the Pleiadian mother is healing her child, imbuing into the child the same kind of biological protection from a very high technology of consciousness that you can't understand without devices at all. Now, what did I tell you the last time I stood here? You are singing the lullaby. You are singing their language. Do you think there is a possibility that it affects your DNA? And whose DNA is it that you have exactly? Do you see what I'm saying? The Pleiadian DNA within you is awakening at the same time the mountain is. This is a healing meeting, and I want you to take advantage of it. Your belief enhances every corporeal structure you have. It sees what you believe. It starts to elevate itself because you own the belief. It starts to build bridges in its own consciousness, its own cellular structure that will keep disease away and healing that which is there. Do I have to tell you how many people are in here? Shall I identify it? Who've come for healing? There's a lot of you. And so I'm just going to tell you, you are in the right place at the right time. It's not just tones. Think for a moment of your ancestors, the ancients. Think even perhaps of your seed biology singing you the lullaby to heal your body, to live longer. I want you to leave this place differently than you came. And for today, I say, so it is.